Republic Yemeni number one.
Intro, Mikey.
What's up, you silly bitches? This is Mikey Shack back in the hot seat. Sorry I didn't do a podcast last week. I was just really, really busy booking shows, trying to come to your town. If you guys are listening to this or if you're watching, hit like, give me 5-star review on iTunes. Subscribe to me, Mike from Detroit on everything. Instagram, TikTok, fucking YouPorn, you fucking name it. I'm Mike from Detroit on everything. What else I was going to say? Got shows coming up. You can find them at MikeFromDetroit.com. But my guest today is the one and only Justin Herman. Keep it up for Justin Herman. You're right. You are too white for that.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is all right, guys. Let's do it again. Guys, let's put your hands together for the amazing Justin Herman.
I'm not fucking Tinkerbell. This is a middle ground, Mike. We can do something. You don't have like a foghorn or something?
I love that.
That's hilarious.
I have to play this for you because I play this for everyone who's on here. Yeah. When I found the... I had to cut out something that is kind of offensive for today.
Oh, yeah?
And I had no idea that they were doing this back then. You remember the Monster Truck Show?
Sure, yeah.
It's always on Sunday. Yeah. But this is what it was really like. They know their demographic, bro. It's like, what? I'm not queer. We got to get tickets.
Dude, I can't wait till they start making rainbow monster trucks just to bring that line back.
That would be awesome.
Full circle, baby. Yeah.
Be here and be queer. Like the complete.
Hell yeah.
Be here and be queer.
These fucking drag queens with like the round one sign.
That's hilarious,
killing
bro.
It.
And their boobs are falling out of their fucking shirts and shit. A basketball? Come on, get the real shit.
Basketball. Hell yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, we were just talking about you were working. On HGTV in Detroit, and you noticed something about like the different neighborhoods and stuff.
Yeah, Detroit's. I'd never been to Detroit before. Last year, I ran this new home design show called Freestyled for HGTV, and we'd go into the room of a house, redesign one room in 24 hours for like low budget. So it was all about like
how many hours?
24 hours with $1,500. That was the concept of the show.
Okay, the concept, but is that actually how it was executed?
We actually had less than 24 hours, and technically less. $1,500 was actually the budget in the line item of the show, which means that every time we had to buy paint for all six houses, we had less than $1,500 per house. Like, we had no extra money. So the host of this show had to legitimately redesign so there was a dramatic before and after with $1,500 in 24 hours. Real time.
$1,500? No. And redesign one room?
One room. So we did a living room, kind of like den in one house. We did an office. We did a master bedroom. You know, different for every home.
I mean, in Detroit, if you're doing like these small little bungalows, is that what you're doing? Or are you guys going out to like... Are you going out to the suburbs, like Novi?
No, we did. We did it all. Yeah, we did. The den that we did was this full, like, it was their living room, their TV room, their playroom for their one-year-old. It was the office for the father. Like, it was not a small job. It's amazing what wallpaper
tilt
and paint.
Tilt the microphone up a little. No, like, tilt it. Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, yeah, there yeah. That's
you
go. The stuff.
So even if you want it away from you, just make sure it hits there. There
gotcha,
you go.
Gotcha, yeah.
Okay, so then you were saying, like, did you do any homes in Detroit? Like in Detroit proper.
We did.
Like where everybody likes purple carpet.
The purple carpet. We did.
That's a black thing, and you got to understand.
I'm trying to remember. There was a house that was all purple. I can't remember what neighborhood that was, but they were dope. We did their bedroom.
Was it a black family?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
We didn't go to Detroit and do six white families.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been.
I would have been so happy if you did that, because then I would just rip on it. I'm just yeah, yeah, yeah. I would just do clips.
The white family we did it was very white, but they were lovely. But it was great. It was a fun show, but it was cool because every house was in a different neighborhood. And so I got a sense of Detroit and a sense of how affordable real estate was in Detroit. I'm a New York Jew, baby. Like, I know New York, and I know a little bit about L.A. now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Detroit is a different planet.
It is a different planet, man. And it's probably one of the best places to invest. I mean, even right now, if you can find somebody to do it. Because, like, right now, like, the Chinese and a lot of other people came and gobbled up pretty much everything.
Wow.
So, like, now it's locked in, man, yeah. You know?
You see, downtown Detroit is
done.
Construction.
But it's done. Yeah, it's almost untouchable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I should have bought the place. I should have bought spots there.
Yeah.
Back when no one wanted to be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was too stupid and, like, wanted to be a comedian, you know? Right. So, but, like, yeah, that place is untouchable. There's, there, you know, in 2016 is when I went in heavy.
Hmm.
Like, when I went, like, pushed in really hard. And at that time, man, you can get homes for $20,000, $25,000. I'm talking about, like, you get a home for $25,000. My best purchase was I got a home for $25,000, four-bedroom,
in
Detroit, bordering a really nice suburb, next to the freeway, next to the big shopping center. So it's got, like, a really, really whatever. $25,000 came with a black lesbian lady who fixes everything in the house.
No way. You had a super built into a house you bought?
She fixes everything in the house herself.
Dude.
She even works on her cars in the garage.
Wow.
And what the? I bought the house for $25,000 and she's already paying $700 a month.
Wow.
It's like, where can you put $20,000, $25,000 and then instantly start generating income like
that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then know that you're going to get it back in 3 years. That's an unbelievable return.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know, dude.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Do you know any other black lesbians?
What's also ridiculous is how Jewish you were because you did the calculation. Without a calculator, I was blown the fuck away. I don't even know if you're right or wrong. I'm believing you. I just believe you. I'm like, yeah, well, I believe that.
It's the only thing I talk about with confidence in my life.
No shit? Is it the only time where you have no anxiety? When you start talking about numbers, you get like very confident and shit. You get a boner.
It's fucking facts, baby. That's all I need. Uber confidence.
So tell everybody about yourself, man.
Yeah, buddy, I'm a TV producer and comedian, and, you know, like, I'm a New Yorker. My dad's born and raised in the Bronx. I mostly grew up, outside the city, been living there the last 16 years until about a year ago, until I moved to Los Angeles. Everyone's like, oh, you moved to Los Angeles for comedy, but I didn't at all. I moved to Los Angeles because I lived during the purge in New York City under COVID, and I was like, it's time to try anything else, right? New York during COVID was tough. My whole COVID, you know, changed everybody's life, but I was shooting an international travel show in 2020, and I was accidentally chasing COVID around the planet. I was in Asia in January, I was in Europe in February, I was in North America in March, and eventually we were like, are we the AIDS monkey of COVID? Should we shut this show down? Because this is fucking crazy. And then we did, like everybody else, and I went back to New York in lockdown, and it was tough. And it kind of, I think I was burnt out in New York for a long time in general. And then COVID kind of couldn't travel for TV, couldn't travel for comedy. What am I doing here?
Yeah.
And I needed a different type of lifestyle.
You born there?
I grew up outside the city. I was born in Philly, but we moved around a lot until I was about 8 or 9.
So you lived in the state of New York?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was born in Philly. My dad was a second year medical school student when I was born. So he had all these trainings and residencies and shit. So he wasn't actually a doctor until I was like 8 years old. So we moved every couple of years, and then we landed a couple hours north in Albany, outside of Albany, in New York.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you, but I mean, like, New York is like, I love New York, bro.
Yeah.
The city?
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best city.
It just smells like pee, though.
Yeah. Well,
everywhere.
That's why it's the best city in the world.
Why? Why is that good?
It scares away all the people who don't like pee.
Yeah, I suppose.
You got to do
a lot of golden shower parties in New York, bro. They're all doing them at Trump Tower. Yeah, bro. I love New York, man. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I couldn't live there, man. I had work there.
Mm.
One time I was there for like 6 months. I was producing. YouTube was before it became what it was now. Back in 2011, 2012, they were dumping a lot of money into like TV like productions to test stuff out.
I remember, yeah.
So they were dumping money into that, and I got one of those bids to do something in at Lion TV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got hired. So I was there for 6 months, and bro, when I was there, I freaking realized there is no fucking way I could live in New York, man. That place, just, I love it. But there was something about the energy in that place that was amazing, but it was so high.
Yeah.
I'm already high energy.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, it burns you out.
It like makes me super high energy. Yeah. I overwork myself.
Yes.
And then for some reason, there's no like nature for me to escape to.
Yes.
Because at Lion TV, I'd look out my window and there's another fucking window.
Yes.
And then I would go to like Central Park.
Right.
And then it's just like you realize this is a fucking zoo for trees.
Yes.
Like, you guys actually have trees in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then when I came here to L.A., man, I was like, this is it. I remember the first time I had my job out here producing, I was at a place out in La Brea. I wasn't even here like 2 or 3 days. I went to go take a piss, right? Mm-hmm. After like taking a break, going to take a piss. Mm-hmm. Went to go take a piss. Then I look up over the urinal and there's a fucking window. And on the other side of that window was a palm tree. And I just, my shoulders went, something about the palm tree, I know, bro. Dude. And I just, only in New York had palm trees. I guess,
right? That's all it's missing. They you soak know? Up the pea smell. It's perfect. They're great. They're great trees. Dude, New York, I think, you know, moving to New York at 22 and, you know, I moved there full time at 22 and I was broke. I couldn't have had less expectations for living in a nice place. And so when I lived in absolute shitholes for years, I was calibrated to it, you know? Like even now when I go back, I've only been gone about a year and a half, and right. I go back and I see my friends' apartments, I'm like, wow. This is what we normalize. Like, dude, I'm hearing conversations through the walls of your neighbors. Like, and you bought this place for $900,000, and I can hear your fucking neighbors talking at this volume. Fucking that's crazy. Crazy.
That is crazy. It's
crazy, man.
And you didn't even realize that you left.
Yes.
Isn't it funny how when you leave and then you come back to certain places, you're like, this is what I was okay with?
Yeah. That's why reverse culture shock is always worse than culture shock. You go to another country and you're shocked that everything's crazy and exciting and you kind of expected it. And then you come home and you're shocked by what you were used to. And you're like, oh my God, this is how I live and this is how people are. This is really weird.
I think the weirdest thing I notice about America when I travel overseas, it happened more here because over here, for some reason, people don't have a sense of community.
Yes.
People are not rooted here, right?
Correct.
People are just about themselves.
Yeah.
The closer to the centrifuge of Hollywood you are, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
People are just very, there's no sense of community.
Yes.
Transient. But when I first moved here from Detroit, man, I was enamored with LA. I still am.
Mm.
But I was enamored on a level that like I wasn't seeing the people. And how they really were.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%.
I'm just happy to be here.
Well, you went from fucking cold ass, fucking Detroit,
shitty
like
Detroit,
beating up Detroit, yeah.
Right. And then I come here and I'm just like, ooh, I love doing chores here. Yeah, it's fucking or like running errands. Yes. Fucking great.
Yes.
Then I went overseas to Thailand, and I think I was there for like a couple of, or a month or something like that. Then I remember I flew back here. It was either Thailand or Indonesia. I love going to those places. Anyways, mm-hmm. the people in Southeast Asia, bro, are so warm.
Incredible.
So kind.
Yes.
So open.
Mm-hmm.
Carefree. Their sense of community is on a level where you're like blown away that you can meet someone in the neighborhood in Indonesia. And then next thing you know, he's inviting you over to his house to meet his mom and come hang out with me and my friends. And it's like it's on another level than when I came back to L.A. I remember as soon as the plane touched down into L.A. and I saw how everybody got up and put on their L.A. face,
mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck this place.
Yes.
And it was the only thing that ruined it was me going to like Indonesia or Thailand.
Of course. It's that reverse culture shock, man. You see your home in new light. I think it's fascinating. And I mean, I can talk about this for the rest of our... This is my sweet spot.
Is it like, okay? Okay, go.
I mean, a lot of the problem in America, I believe, is the failure of the suburbs. Right, like in the 1950s, this is like the American dream incarnate was we created the suburbs. We created the space outside of the urban centers where you could go and show that you were successful and wealthy and by buying a house in the middle of fucking nowhere and dropping your kids and your wife there and then the guy goes to work and everybody else stays home, completely isolated from their family and isolated from the world that they knew. But we treated the suburbs like it's this perfect solution. And listen, there are great things that come from the suburbs. You can buy homes, obviously, in places that you couldn't in city centers. Life is easier. But the suburban experiment to me is just a box store lifestyle. Like you live in your boxes. You live in your house. You get in your car. You go to your office. You go to your grocery store.
Say box store.
Box store, yeah. We are fucking, it's the Walmartification of America. We have made the suburban experience so isolated from each other. We don't design city centers. We design urban suburban sprawl. We create cul-de-sacs instead of centers. Like, we focus on how do we put everybody at the edge versus in the middle. And the suburban experiment, I think, has isolated us. I think this is why it's so easy to be polarized. I think it's so easy to be scared of each other. This is why we're scared of each other, because we don't live in places where we can walk and bump shoulders. This is what makes New York so great, is you're shoulder to shoulder with everybody on the planet.
That's what I love.
And in the suburbs, you're not in L.A. To me, L.A. is not a city. L.A. is 17 suburbs stapled together. So what you're experiencing with what's weird about L.A. to me is that there is no successful city center that people congregate in. You know, in Australia, where my dad lives, even the 70,000-person towns, they have what they call CBDs, which are central business districts. That's everything flows to the middle. Everything flows to walkable streets and shops and cafes, and it puts people in the same place.
I've been there.
It's great.
And the people in Australia are amazing.
Amazing.
They're great.
Yes.
They're nothing like what I expected them to be.
Yeah. They're right? Very comfortable.
They're very comfortable. They're very, like, cool. But it's also, you know what I say when I go to Australia? It's like white people, but they're on island time.
Yeah, that's funny.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. White people on island time. Yes. Like, legit. Sorry if I just fuck with these settings right here.
Get in there, buddy.
Keep going, bro. This is fascinating because I also have my own thoughts about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that and I speak from experience of friends and family, like the suburban experiment in general in America, it you know, this part of the suburban experiment was just racism, right? It was just white people wanting to move away from minorities in cities.
Right.
Like that's built into this that we don't really talk about when we talk about the American dream. But it still isolated everybody that moved out, was separated from their family, from their community. Like we prioritize owning a home over having a community. And that's what the suburbs are to me. It is prioritizing your own space and your own fence to block off the world so you're safe and not scared of them. But it just creates more fear because you're isolated.
It is. But why did that happen? Do you think that that was by design or, you know, because like when I see that, that makes me go, it sounds to me like it's very convenient for those that are going to be in power in this new country if everyone is siloed.
Right.
And not able to get together and be like, yo, what's the government doing? That's the mindset that I kind of have, right? Mm. But then at the same time, it's like, was it just an accidental, was it designed that way by a need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like in Detroit, the suburbs were created in Detroit after white flight.
Yes.
After the riots.
Right.
And the white people were like, fuck, this is scary.
Yes.
So we got to go move to the suburbs. And I don't know if you've ever been to the suburbs in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Like if you go to like the suburbs that neighbor Detroit, mm-hmm. right? The ones that are very close to Detroit.
Yep.
The streets are on an easy grid.
Yes. Yes.
Very easy. No matter where you go, you kind of know where you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when you go to the suburbs, it's like you're in a fucking maze.
Yeah.
And they make it so hard for you to figure out how to get in and out of this area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's almost like by design done that way to make the people in that area feel safe that it's going to be harder for people to rob them
dude, that's
and
funny.
Find their way out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, I think...
That's why, you know...
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm like wondering, like, do you think this is something that was created from the top as a way to corral us? Or do you think it's just by mistake or...
I think the ramifications of it today... could have been created long after the United. I'm not necessarily believe the suburbs were an idea that was entirely based on how do we manipulate and control. I think they were an economic boom. We figured out in the 40s because of World War II how to industrialize the shit out of anything. We were mass producing planes and tanks and whatever we needed for the war. And I think we had this machine that could mass produce shit. So we're like, what do people need? How do we expand our economy? And how do we get people back to work? I think it came from potentially a good place. I think there's always negativity mixed with the positive social growth. But I think the ramifications have proven to be a negative based on the development. There's always more factors than one that create a negative environment. But I don't think they were made to be evil. I think they were made as an opportunity. And I think what they've proven to us is that we've isolated ourselves from our community by spreading out. But it depends where in the country you're talking about, too. Like, I think places like Texas that come from this... cowboy mentality of kind of roaming the wilderness. The suburban experiment is a different thing for them because they were all rural and in cowboy towns, and they kind of more came together. So it depends. It's casting a wide net, but one that I think about a lot when I look at the problems in America.
I think that's just it could be a byproduct of like individualism.
Yeah.
Do you know about the father of so? Okay, I want to go down a little rabbit hole.
Hit it.
About some stuff, okay? Let's talk about the father of, and to me, this is where I'm going to draw parallels between like the Arab worldview of America and how almost the same things happen to two men that have sort of created a violent outlet for their people. So on one side is Theodor Herzl, who created the State of Israel, who created Zionism. And then the other one is, I forget his name, but he's the father of modern day terrorism. Now, the guy who fathered terrorism was a very peaceful man, just like Theodor Herzl. Theodor Herzl was a French Frenchman who was Jewish, and he was an author. Do you know anything about Theodor Herzl?
Not a lot.
Okay, so he was an author, and he was a pacifist. He was a guy that was all about trying to find a way to get European Christians to accept and assimilate European Jews, right? Because there's a lot of hatred towards Jews. We know that throughout time. And Theodor Herzl was like very passive. And even in his writings, there was like writings that he's had where he was wanting to see if he could convince Jewish people to interfaith marry Christian people, Catholics, so that we could start getting over this whole hate thing.
Right.
He was all about bringing people together.
Huh.
Okay. Then he had a change of heart when there was, I think it was like World War One. No, it wasn't World War One. It was there was some type of a national conflict that France was having a war with in the late 1800s, and one of the generals was a Jewish Frenchman, and he was wrongfully accused of treason, and the hysteria started spreading on the news and everything, and then like anti-Semitic hate really increased in France to the point that it really shocked Theodor Herzl, and it pissed him the fuck off. And in one night, in a fervor, an actual angry fervor of like what's going on in the world, stream of conscience, he wrote the book The Jewish State. Right?
Interesting.
And in that book, when I read the preface, it basically said that he wrote this very quick, stream of conscience, almost no editing, right?
Wow.
And in it, he goes against everything he used to think of. Stop being passive. It's time for Jewish people to really start growing fangs. It's time for us to get our own land. It's time for us. So he's the one who started like beating this drum, right?
Wow.
So here's this guy who is very peaceful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then his will broke and realized, I can't be that anymore. We have to be something else.
Wow.
And he inspired a whole new movement.
Yeah.
The Zionist movement. The other guy, which my name escapes me, he was in Egypt. And he was also an author, and he had a huge following. He was a peaceful Muslim, and he wrote so many like books on being like, you know, the best peaceful. He was just such a good person, right? Then the United States and the CIA overthrew the government to install their own little guy named Sadat. And when they did that, this author somehow got rallied, picked up by the CIA and tortured for 4 years. Like brutal torture, using dogs and all kinds of shit. Then I guess he got released.
Yeah.
And he was a changed man.
Huh.
And he too wrote a book.
Huh.
And this is now everyone who's a big fan of him. And now he's like changing his tune.
Wow.
It's time for us to grow fangs.
Wow.
It's time for us to kill anyone who believes in this American poison called individualism. And that's the one thing that he started realizing. He said that in his book, he said, individualism paves the way for tyranny. And he saw firsthand how that was, because before he got tortured, he came to school here in the United States.
Interesting.
And he studied here.
Yeah.
And the one thing that bothered him was everyone's front lawns.
Huh, yeah.
He's like, he didn't like the idea of these people having a front lawn.
Yes.
He was like, he noticed that there was no sense of community.
Yes.
He's like, these front lawns seem to signify, I'm better than you.
Yep.
And he goes, when he went there, he was baffled to see that instead of Americans being like they are in the Middle East, very communal and everyone's together and everyone knows all that, he goes, they're all competing against each other.
Yeah.
they're showing off each other cars in the driveway. Yeah. And this is my grass. Mm. That is your grass. And then he started talking about commercials, how he goes, the commercials here, just all they do is just brainwash you to think of yourself and think of yourself. Mm-hmm. And you have a problem and you need to fix it. So he really saw it. Mm. Then he goes back and then he starts writing books about how we need to stop individualism from poisoning, what he said, the Middle East.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he got back, he started noticing Middle Eastern commercials not playing on TV and people starting to act the same way. Then he gets picked up by the CIA. Then he gets tortured. And then he basically is the father of terrorism after that. But his idea of like the grass and everything, it's almost everything like how your observation is in terms of the cul-de-sacs. So to me, it's like, here's a guy who saw that a long time ago. And it seems like it's only happening here in the States that we have that.
We're very unique. I mean, even Australia they don't do lawns. They do garden. If they do anything, they plant gardens. They plant. What the fuck? Who gives a shit about grass?
Grass is so fucking stupid.
Are you fucking kidding me, America? Grass? That's our big. It's just a moat. It's just a green moat to keep people off your fucking lawn. And it might as well be water with fucking alligators in it.
Or rocks.
Yeah.
Alligators much better. Who needs ADT?
I know. What do you do?
Who needs home security, bro, when you got fucking gator rolls?
Dude, that'd be dope. I'm just saying. Stop wasting the water that we're going to run out of pretty soon. Get yourself an alligator.
Yeah, just
dig a hole.
Make it a swamp.
Yeah, exactly. Easier.
That's the end of humanity, bro. Grass is fucking stupid. Have you ever owned a home?
No. Which is pretty funny because I've directed a lot of home buying shows.
Have you ever, but when you lived in New York, did you have a home with grass?
No. Always apartments. When I was upstate, as a kid for about 8 years, we had a house with a front yard and a backyard. And we
Bro, I remember when I read that book about that guy saying that, you know, the grass is like the thing that divides us.
Yeah.
You know, I owned a home at that time, man. And dude, it's like fucking amazing how the grass is just the way to control you.
Yep.
It is.
Neighborhood associations because have conversations about meeting the standards by watering your fucking lawn.
Fuck the home association. Yeah. That I can get behind.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in like Dearborn, Michigan, there's like a cop.
Mm.
He's practically a cop. He's not a cop, but he's some guy rolling around with a badge.
Yeah.
Going, you get a ticket because your grass is too tall.
Right.
You got to water your fucking grass.
Yeah.
You got to fucking. It's just like, dude.
Crazy.
I'm trying to figure out how to take over the world right now. Now I got to worry about my grass.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather just throw rocks on there.
For sure. All of America's origin story.
Yeah, get out of here.
Is America's origin story is people that didn't want to conform to the British rule of secularism, you know, whatever the British, you know, they're all Puritans that were like, we want to live our own fucking life based on our own rules, and they all came here. I mean, then they just spread. Like, that's America's origin, right? America's like, screw all of this. We want to do what we want to do the way we want to do it. And it's a lot of individualism mixed with Puritan. Botanical beliefs. Like, it's such a weird origin for a place, which actually really explains a lot of the shit that we deal with. It explains why half this country is like, no gays and the mainstream, like whatever the things, all the anti-sex education, the anti-education, all this stuff. This comes from a Puritan beginning.
It's crazy how that stuff still like sits there. You know what
it's
I mean?
Wild.
It's like you can't even, like, you would think we would boil that out of our system.
Of all the things we're worrying about in the world right now, you have to give a shit about how other people have sex? That's your problem?
We have UFOs. UFOs are here.
Apparently.
UFOs are here.
Been announced.
Been announced.
Declared by the United States government. And people are like, men shouldn't kiss other men. You can't think about something else?
Men don't have titties. They can. They can.
They can.
Just let them have
it. Let them have it.
I don't see the problem. Bro, the UFO thing trips me out. Trips me. Have you been keeping up with that at all?
Yeah, I pay attention to it. I almost can't
care.
I care. I definitely care. I'm fascinated by it. But I don't believe what anybody. Everybody's like, well, the government won't tell us what it is. So everybody jumps from we shot something down and they won't immediately tell us what happened. So it's got to be an alien. And I have a hard time buying into the alien hysteria. The UFO is, well, first of all, UFO can mean anything. It's an unidentified flying object, but we're talking aliens, right?
I mean, not necessarily, but it, I'm jumping to that.
Sure.
I'm fucking going aliens, bro.
Yeah. It's,
or not. It could be China that's created like an amazing type of technology that nobody's ever created yet.
There are so many, national defense implications to every one of these little things that there's a thousand reasons why they wouldn't tell us what's happening before they would hide aliens from us. You know what I mean? Like anything that they could have been spying on, maybe the conspiracy theorists are right, and there is an basement underneath a pizza shop where there are lizard people fucking eating and fucking children, and the aliens caught it, and that's why we shot down the balloon. Maybe that's the but who knows what the fuck was going? Like there could be a million reasons. Maybe this is technology they don't want us to. We don't want the Chinese to know that we know about.
Sure.
Maybe that they capture something that we don't want the world to know about, but China now knows or would have known if we didn't shoot down the balloon. Like there's a thousand factors before we get to aliens.
And what's the fun one? What's the fun?
You want more fun than lizard people fucking kids in a basement under a pizza shop being correct?
That one I can't believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
That one's hard to believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Agreed.
I like the theories that make me go, ooh.
Right.
Interesting.
Right, right, right.
Maybe.
Right.
You know?
What's an example? What's a conspiracy theory that actually makes you go, huh? Because the mainstream conspiracy theories.
Yeah, yeah. What's the mainstreams?
I mean, what are they? They're flat earthers.
Oh, fuck those people.
I mean, they're all so fucking dumb.
Listening to that. But see, the thing is, I'm not the type of person to write off everything because a bunch of people are like,
of course,
you know, I'm even the type of person like I'll listen to Ben Shapiro only because I'm like kind of, I guess, because like I would consider myself liberal. I'm just monitoring enemy transmissions.
Yeah, sure.
So to me, it's like I'm listening to him for the nuggets of gold.
Yes.
You know, because there's going to be something he's going to say. I'm like, okay, okay. Right. But then every so often there's, ooh,
thank you
for that. Right? So to me, it's like, I don't want to write everyone off, but there are a lot of dumb motherfuckers. The flat earthers are retarded.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, man. Some of the other like things that they're pointing to. Like, what if these aliens or these are like those that created us?
I haven't gone down that rabbit hole. But like to me, sure. Okay, sure. I bet you if I went down the rabbit hole with you, I'd be like, oh, this is a fun thought experiment. But when you start with that, all I see is that headline. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna read a book about Magellan.
Well, to me, here's the thing, because you know about no heat signatures.
No.
Okay, so the thing that's baffling everyone is that these crafts are now, they've been measuring them as they like appear and like jets will try to follow them.
Oh, right.
And they're moving so fast and so quick and making ridiculous like 90 degree turns in like intense ways.
Sure.
And there's no propulsion.
Right.
There's typically no heat signature. Now, what's crazy is that, you know, Albert Einstein, before he died, he came up with the equation that points to the fact that gravity is more like a fabric and that it can be bent.
Right.
And the thing that can bend time is like a fabric. And the thing that can bend it is gravity.
Mm-hmm.
So gravity is the thing that can contort time.
Right. And that's why a black hole, the closer you get into it, the more the time. Yeah, yeah.
So, and he never got to see that proven. He died.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, because basically what he said was, if you could find a measuring device to measure it, you'll find that at the outer edge of Earth's atmosphere, there's going to be a curvature in space-time because of the gravitational pull of the Earth is going to bend space-time just a little bit.
Right.
They found out he was right.
Right.
They found out he was right so much that that's the reason why GPS can find us.
Mm-hmm.
If GPS didn't have that equation in it, it wouldn't be able to calculate for the bended space-time and it won't be able to find us accurately on the planet.
Right.
Right? So if you take the fact that time can be bent with gravity, he theorized that in the future you could travel with a gravitational propulsion system. And his idea was that if you were able to harness gravity, you would be able to bend space-time, fold it, and you can go from point A to point B in a second, not because you traveled there linearly, but instead you folded space-time and brought the location to you, which is fucking crazy to think about.
That is a fucking pretty impressive Jew right there.
Right? So the idea of like instead of driving to the comedy store, you fold time and space and bring that location to you.
Right.
Which is actually you're going there.
Right.
Okay. So if that's the case, then a lot of these things that they're starting to say that they're like noticing about these crafts
yes.
seem to point to that. The right. fact that it can go from like 50,000 feet above sea level to just 1 foot and within a split second.
Yeah.
We don't have anything on here that could do that.
Yes.
So those are the things that kind of make me go, fuck, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has somebody today figured out how to do that? Or are those aliens or are those future humans?
Right. Well, so I've read about that stuff a couple years ago. I thought you meant the balloons we were shooting down were doing those moves.
No.
Yeah. Cool.
No, not the balloons.
Yeah, thank you. Great. Same page.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, you thought I was talking about the balloons?
Yeah. Once you got into Einstein, I was like, wow, this is a really fucking impressive balloon. And then you explained. And
Who's high?
Same page.
Fuck.
It's so good. I've read about those detected ships, and yeah, that shit is interesting as hell. I have no idea. How could I possibly speculate? To me, it's always like, are they here to kill us? Are they here to observe us? Or do we have a connection to them? If they're here to kill us, they would have done it already.
Sure.
If they're observing or manipulating us, I have no power over it anyways, so I'm going to live my life. That's kind of how I always think about that shit. The possibility that the Defense Department of the United States has advanced technology, I wouldn't rule that shit out.
I wouldn't rule that out either.
Because they won't tell us anything.
I won't rule that out either.
I interviewed the chief neuroscientist at DARPA, who invents all of this shit, who invented fucking LSD and fucking MDMA in the 60s. You know, like, DARPA like is an unbelievable science program that creates all this covert technology. You know, cell phone technology is shit the military had a long time before they trickled into
us. A lot of our amazing household stuff that we have first started with military advancements.
Yeah. So however fucking far they are, we'll never know, you know, until they want us to know. So is it possible they figured out how to bolt? I don't know if they've bent space-time, but like some of this shit could be argued that there's a technology invented that we don't know about. But this shit is also so fucking advanced, I also find it hard to believe. I feel like there's so much information in the world out there, and so many people spend their time staring up at the sky, waiting for planes to fly by, and then trying to explain it. I don't know, I feel like hiding the ability to bend space-time would be a big, tough ask. But I don't know. Who knows?
Oh, you think so? You think that someone would leak that, huh?
I don't know, like... You know, how many people are looking for fucking aliens all day? Like maybe they're not the people that are going to be able to explain what they see.
Sure.
But I think that the world communicates in a way that is incredibly new for humanity in the last 30 years. Like, we have an ability to talk to every single person on this planet at any time. And that is something we grossly underestimate the significance of, because 30 years ago we couldn't do that, and 30 years is a fraction of a percentage of the existence of humanity,
bro.
Like, I think about this all the time in terms of like liberals and conservatives, right?
Okay,
because like a liberal thinker, not talking about political party, but like a liberal thinker is someone by definition that doesn't believe they have all the answers, so they're open to other people's ideas.
Yes,
that's all it is. That is the textbook definition.
That's one of my lead-ins to one of my jokes. Go ahead.
Amazing.
Explain that. Like, we used to listen.
Yes, exactly. And conservative thinkers are people that believe the rules have been written and I'm going to follow them. You know, we got fucking 10 commandments. That's the rule. I ain't changing it now. I'm going to go listen to a guy.
Not all conservatives, obviously.
No. But that's the conservative mentality. Now I'm getting specific and trying to make fun of Republicans. But I'm not. I'm not. The conservative thinking is like, we got the rules. Why are we fucking changing it? I want to be happy and live in this box. And that's why a lot of conservatives.
And why do we want to change too much? Let's just keep what we got and like fortify it.
So people don't want to change because they're happy with what they got, and people who believe there are bigger answers. And in the last 30 years, when we've gotten this technology to communicate with everybody on the planet, people that want to think and explore have more access to that than ever. So liberal-minded people are becoming more and more liberal and progressive because they're accumulating knowledge at a faster rate and communicating with people on levels and building on each other faster than it's ever happened. So I feel like liberals are becoming more and more and more liberal, while conservatives are pretty much kind of staying in the same place, which is part of the divide that's created between us, because you can talk to anybody about anything, and it all accelerates at a rate that has never before been seen in modern humanity.
Very interesting. You're saying that conservatives are more, wow. So your idea, it's liberals that are like bending more.
I think you're right. It
seems that way.
Liberals are expanding more in their direction, and conservatives are more consistently doing what they do, right? Because
in their trajectory,
exactly,
right?
And that's what I think. And that is not a diagnosis of political parties. I think it's actually the opposite in politics. The Republican Party, I think, is constantly going more to the right, and the Democratic Party is kind of trying to meet them in the middle.
That's exactly it.
So it's the opposite of what's actually happening in society
in the political spectrum.
Yes.
You're right. The Democrats and the Republicans. The Republicans are moving further right.
Yes,
and the Democrats are just. I've always said Democrats are just Republicans in disguise.
They're
Republican light.
This is why the people like to call Democrats pussies, because they're not standing up for what they believe. And part of that's because their whole concept of being liberal-minded is, well, maybe I don't
We don't believe in anything. Yeah, it's true.
I don't know all the answers. And that makes it very hard to be a strong, tough, stand-your-ground Democrat, because part of your concept of being a liberal thinker is, well, let's learn some shit and then we'll adjust, and which is the most rational way to live your life. But that in itself is considered progressive in American politics.
So so back to the whole, like, yes, liberals are now going very hard into the left and because but then how is this pertaining to, like, the overall, like, how we're looking at the a possible aliens thing, or how we're gathering information? I forgot the point that you were trying to make with that.
Well, I was kind of I was kind of coming from a position of that we have a lot of fucking information out there.
Yeah.
Like, we've all learned to remove the political example and put it into, like, a digesting what information about space tech science exists in the world, for example. There are people that understand every fucking jet propulsion engine that goes on every spaceship, despite the fact that they're doing it from their basement or their parents' house.
Mm.
Like, you can learn about all this shit and study and watch what everybody's doing. Like, we have people, like, this is, again, not a science example, but I shot a reality show in a small town in rural Illinois last summer, and there were multiple face groups in this 7,000 person town following and commenting on every single thing the Hollywood film crew did all day long. They knew everything we filmed.
So many different what groups?
Facebook groups. Yeah. So there were multiple Facebook groups monitoring. Hey, the film crew is at this cafe today, and Bloom Cafe, and they're over here, and they're filming at the dog shelter, and they're doing. Everybody knew what we were doing, because people can, based on technology they have access to, monitor what's happening in the world. There are people that do the same thing for SpaceX, do the same thing for NASA. So part of what I'm speculating on is that I believe there's a lot of people that are just doing their own, doing their own research, right?
Oh, especially nowadays. I know what you mean.
Exactly. And so, like, the idea that our military tech has gotten to bending the space-time continuum like it's fucking Star Trek is hard for me to believe, when we would have seen people who have seen, perhaps, the trajectory of these tests that build to this thing. Again, I'm swinging wildly here, but I feel like to go from nothing to we are space and time travelers with nothing in between that we would know about as a public that's confirmed would be, it's hard for me to believe.
Yeah. So that's the thing, man. That's what, like, he's blowing my mind right now.
Yeah. So it's got to be aliens. I came all the way around to your point of view.
See, I mean, it's either got to be right. Right?
Yeah.
Because you thought I was talking about the balloons.
Yes.
Fuck those balloons, bro.
Yeah,
that was stupid.
Yeah.
To me, the way I was doing conspiracy theory thinking about the balloons.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I see what they're doing with the balloons.
Mm.
China is the one that actually has this technology.
Yes.
They're using it to monitor us.
Yes.
And then they're using the balloons to make us think that these guys ain't shit.
Right.
China balloon.
yeah.
Meanwhile, the things that we're shooting out of the sky is probably them. So it could be a psyop.
Yes, sure.
From all angles.
I'm sure.
Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, man, I don't know, bro. I really, really do think that because, you know, Bob Lazar?
No.
Bob Lazar was the guy who called out that he worked for Area 51.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Okay.
And people laughed him off, whatever. Sure. And his story hasn't changed ever since, right? And then they just did a documentary on him, and then he was also on Rogan.
Mm.
And he was talking about how, you know, they brought him in to try to see if he can reverse engineer, from what he said, a gravity propulsion system that they picked up from an alien wreckage.
Mm.
So this guy has been saying that he's been at this place.
Right.
And he's been working there. And the things that he saw, he couldn't deal with it. He got out, right? And then he started, like, blowing the whistle.
Right.
Then the CIA started really fucking with him. The government really started fucking with him.
Mm.
Nobody believed him until just recently his documentary comes up. And look how perfect the timing is. The documentary comes out. He gets on Rogan. The thing blows up. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Soon as that happens, not too long after that, the Pentagon comes out and says, all those videos that the Blink-182 guy has released
right.
of the name, it's true.
Right.
It did come from us, and we just declassified it.
Yes.
Now, when they declassified it, Rogan got the pilot that was in one of those videos on his podcast to describe everything.
Mm.
So, like, now there's this, yes. like, this progression of, like, maybe it is something from another goddamn planet, or it's probably us from the future. And here's the other thing. It could be from the depths of the sea, because the other footage that came out was they were following it, and then it was able to go underwater.
Oh, wow.
And we don't have anything that can go fly and be submersive completely at the same
physics,
time.
Yeah.
So now people are like, what if these things are like, they've always been there, but they've been in the depths of the planet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But then again, a lot of the footage that comes out, a lot of the sightings happen in San Diego.
Yeah.
Big military base
there.
So now that fucking rules in the military again. Why is it always happening there? But then recently, they've been shooting shit down in Canada.
Yep.
They've been shooting shit. China has reported they've been having to shoot things down that have no heat signature.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Dude, I think the advancement of technology in the last generation or two is so unbelievable. And I think the way we use that information to develop our conspiracy theories is so fucking funny. And it makes total sense. Like, all of everything you're saying, I see the logical thread. It's interesting. I want to know more.
It's one of the it's one of the more concrete threads that we've been having.
So if that's so fucking concrete, then why are there still people that go all the way to lizards in basements fucking children for the Democratic Party?
Because we live in a simulation.
Uh-huh.
And those are NPCs.
Hilarious.
Those are NPCs running on a script to keep the thinking people back in line.
I love it. I love the way that conspiracy theories have become so mainstream in the last 10 years. Like 10 years ago, I'd watch like doomsday preppers on TV and be like, these fucking psychopaths. Now I like follow all of them on Instagram. Like, we've gone so far into like, the world is unstable as hell.
It's going to get to a point where David Icke, everyone's going to be like, damn, David Icke, we should have listened to you from the first. He's the lizard fucking people guy. He's that. You know, listen, man, you're right. Because it almost seems like what science keeps finding more and more, it's very weird, but it's also in a way making religion seem to be more and more real now.
Interesting.
So...
I don't agree. I would love to hear more on that, because my first reaction is not.
I know that, agree. Yeah. But I'm like now because the okay, like you listen to you okay, so my idea now of like with all these other independent archaeologists that have like hit the mainstream and scientists that are like now bringing in new information that has seemed controversial, but it's actually pointing to fucking real things. The idea of religion now to me is that so humans were actually here far longer than we expected.
Okay.
Now there's like things that are pointing to that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They found water erosion on the Sphinx, right? At the base of the Sphinx.
Okay.
And if that is true, then that dates the Sphinx further back, back when that area had water everywhere. So then it would probably have to date before the place was flooded. So if those structures were built by humans, then we've been around way longer than we thought we were.
Interesting.
So the idea is that we were super fucking advanced, super technological species, that huge cataclysm that wiped out the majority of the fucking planet.
Right.
Only left maybe 10,000 people.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And now imagine 10,000 people rebuilding society. And then later on, when they find a way to settle down, they'd be like, so what were we like before?
Right.
Well, we were created by aliens. We call them God. We were this. Also now imagine me and you and a bunch of fucking bozos trying to explain how to create an LCD screen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's...
And this is after, like, maybe generations of us finally settling down to start fucking piecemealing what the past was.
Yes.
So I think that's what religion is.
Yes.
So I think religion is a piecemeal of what we thought we knew.
It's like a really poorly written historical podcast.
Yes, like this.
Yeah. Right.
Like this. So meta. Okay. So when you look at religion like that, okay, now you start realizing the string theory is finding computer codes written in the fabric of the universe. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that guy, Dr. Gates, who found computer codes written in the fabric of the universe. And not is it only any computer code, it keeps spitting out the exact algorithm code that runs all of our web browsers and all of our computers. It was written specifically by a computer scientist back in like the 40s. And he was pretty much the grandfather of computers. Mm. So now the idea is we might be in a simulation, right? And if you look at religions all say that. They said that God created this as a test. Mm-hmm. Even in the Quran, it always reminds you that this is just a temporary test to test you, okay? And then you got Christians that go, well, they only believe the planet is 6,000 years old. But science says, no, the fucking universe is probably more like 14 billion years old.
Right.
I think the simulation is 6,000 years old, simulated to be 18 billion years old. So now I'm like, really? Because like a lot of things in science are starting to like point to things that a lot of religions have been really setting in stone, like things that are kind of true, like fasting, right? Mm-hmm. Like back then, people fasted. Where did they get that? Where did they learn that from? How did they know that? Like now science is breaking that down and realizing that extends life now.
Sure. Well, listen, yeah, but you can look at India 2,000 years ago and like the traditions of what we would consider rudimentary societies through a better understanding. You could also argue that technology and human development has made us so less in tune with our bodies and what our bodies need and respond to because we're so distracted by everything else. That 2,000 years ago, we knew all this shit because we could sense it like a fucking animal knows how to hunt, knows how to hide, and knows how to...
That's a very good point. Like, I believe that too.
I think it's completely true. So I think a lot of what we've used to know is something that we've lost track of, and then now we're finding ways to circle back and justify, which is what I love about what you were saying about humankind having been almost destroyed and then coming back. Because I think I can't remember where I was reading about this or talking about this, but there are theories that if we do go through some sort of cataclysmic apocalyptic situation, that the humans that survive will not be the academics that have the knowledge of humanity, but they'll be the people living their doomsday bunkers, and then the humanity will have to redevelop and
from those wackos.
Yes, and learn all over again. And which is what a lot of humanity is. It is the wackos that survive, that are tough enough to survive the elements and the wars, that are separated enough from some society coming together and killing off each other. And then the humanity and society rebuilds from that. That's like the cycle. It's kind of a cycle of society in general.
How easy would it be for that small group of humans to, instead of creating a society based around science,
right,
but more religion?
Yes. So much easier.
I mean, you almost saw the religion of masks during the lockdown.
Right.
How that just became kind of a religion for some people.
Yes.
Like, it literally, if you think about it, like, the brainwashing happened so deep with some people that now this was creed.
Well, it's both sides of that are super fascinating, right? Because, you know, the liberal, if you want to apply a political side, the liberal side being like, trust science, wear a fucking mask, was the rule, that was the godsend. And in the conservative side, it was like, fuck masks, they don't do anything, this is all just control propaganda. Both sides, in some cases, took these on to be logical extremes. To the extent, and I was super fascinated by this, especially because my family was in Australia, which had a completely different experience of the pandemic.
I want to talk about your dad, though.
Yeah. But so my dad was in Tasmania, which is an island off of the island of Australia. So for the pandemic, closed borders, couldn't fly in or out. They had by May 2020, no one was wearing masks in public. Like, we're walking around and everybody's dying, and they were fine for like 2 years. There was, until they opened up, no COVID in Tasmania. No organic case, only if someone snuck in on a fucking plane. Nobody had COVID for years because they were so isolated. So they had one experience. And then Melbourne had some of the strictest lockdowns in the world. And So conservatives attacked that overreach of government, and then liberals were like, fuck you, because what do you know? Look, nobody over here is dying, man. Like, people didn't die of this pandemic because they locked their shit down, which is true. But 2 years later, you go to Melbourne, and every single person there is traumatized by how fucking insane the lockdowns were.
Yeah.
Big time. Nobody talks about it like, thank God more people didn't die. They all talk about how, holy shit, I couldn't walk more than a mile from my home without being ticketed dramatically. Like, it was cruel and unusual how much they locked us down. It was one case meant the whole city locked down for 6 weeks. It was a lot. And so hearing that now, super interesting, and I think important, because it shows how much these ideas become part of a polarized political agenda versus really talking about the ideas.
Yeah, we're so polarized that you got to talk in the middle.
Yes.
In order for you to these two polar opposites to they have to compromise in the middle.
Yes.
You have to be like, you know what? That is a decent idea.
Yes.
It doesn't fit my ideology, but how do we make that idea work in the constructs of my ideology? So there's so many, I've always said this recently. I'm like, there are so many good liberal ideas that need to be executed conservatively.
Yes.
And there's so many conservative ideas that need to be executed liberally.
Correct.
Right?
Agreed. Agreed.
You know, like, totally even like for example, As a liberal when it comes to guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to realize the logic in that guns are here to stay.
Yes. Yes.
And you taking away this gun and that gun, it doesn't really help anything, because all you're doing is just, there's still other guns. What the fuck are you doing? So like, it's just like making these laws to try to restrict people's ways to get guns. Instead, it's like, why not instead embrace the Second Amendment and in a liberal way be like, let's regulate this.
Well,
let's treat this in a way that we do treat cars. So conservatives are like, no, don't touch it at all.
Well,
I think there's a part of that that's right. And then I think there's also a part that's wrong on the conservative side into thinking that it's going to be crazy to regulate it or to make it harder. Not make it harder, but like, look, if you're going to get a gun, as a Marine, I say, you should be able to get the gun right away, right? Because typically, statistically, when people think they need a gun, they typically do need a gun.
Mm.
And then not too long after that, they find out that they needed that gun, right? So I think it's important for people to have a very quick background check to be able to take that gun home that day.
Mm-hmm.
But within 30 days, you have to take a one-week course to keep the gun. And then every year, you have to recertify.
Interesting. So fascinating. I like that. I like some of that. I don't like all of that. I don't know where that statistic comes from. I can see the exact same reason people needing a gun, because they're mad at their boss for firing them, and I need this gun fucking right now so I can go shoot that motherfucker in the face.
Sure.
It could go either direction. But I think you're right. Your thesis is absolutely correct. The problem is, I think there's been a lot of common sense gun control measures pitched. But because of, again, then you get into the politics. I don't want to lose. I'm my constituents. The NRA is giving me all this money. The problem is the fucking lobbying means that you cannot actually have a common sense conversation about it. First of all, we know certain types of guns cause most of the deaths in mass shootings, right? We know it's automatic weapons. Why do you need an automatic weapon?
But they're not automatic weapons.
Oftentimes they are.
They're not. They say assault rifle.
Right.
It's not an assault rifle. It's a semi-automatic rifle. That looks like an assault rifle.
Right.
The narrative has been so like brainwashed.
Right.
That they are brainwashing us to look at that rifle as an assault rifle when in actuality it's just a rifle.
Right. Are you talking about the M16s? You're talking about
The M16 is the military grade.
Yes.
Assault rifle.
Right.
Right. The one that I had in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
What constitutes an assault rifle are many things.
Yes, of course.
One of the namely things is that it shoots more than one round at a time with one squeeze.
Right.
So you put one squeeze and that's like automatic, or you have one that's like the M16 is a 3-round burst. You have a single shot and you have a three-round burst.
Right.
The civilian version, the AR-15. Doesn't have, it's only one shot at a time.
Right.
Every squeeze is one shot.
Right.
The assault rifle, like the M16, has a muzzle suppressor. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, yeah.
A flash suppressor?
Yeah.
It suppresses the flash.
The flash, so you can't be seen, right?
So you can't be seen.
Right.
The civilian version doesn't have a flash suppressor.
Right.
They do that specifically so that if somebody's nefarious trying to, like, you know, prop up on a tree to shoot someone and not be seen, you'll see, you'll notice his location. Right, but like the military has...
Isn't it pretty easy to buy some sort of flash suppressor for the AR-15?
Listen, anything can be done.
Sure.
You can 3D print guns now.
Exactly.
So
what's the clip size for an AR-15?
I can't 100% remember, but I think you can get an extended clip.
Yeah.
I forget. I think it was maybe 10 to 15 rounds, I think.
Yeah. I think, okay. Guns are awesome. I love shooting a gun. I've never felt more powerful. I get it, Texas. I fucking love guns.
Right.
I get it. It's fucking dope.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why you need an AR-15 to hunt. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see why we don't
need a really nice rifle.
I'm sure it's... I think
it's fucking awesome.
I don't want to take them away entirely because I think getting to play with shit like that is fucking awesome. But how do we prevent people with nefarious means? Like, shouldn't you have to work up to that? Like, where are the fucking musket? Give him a goddamn musket. Give him a bolt action musket for
no
the first 30 days.
Shit.
Nobody wants that shit.
No.
Good. But make them learn how to be good with a gun for 30 days. And if they're a psychopath with putting a bayonet on their gun and charging into a school,
that's
at least be better.
That's where I'm talking about the it's got to be regulated.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that there needs to be certain... Listen, I'm not an expert, but I know that there could be milestones that we could systematically put in place.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're an older man that has like osteoporosis and you could barely get your like clip in, and you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We need to start figuring out like, what do you do with someone like that? Right? Mentally unstable. What do we do with fucking people like that? But in the end, man, I don't know, dude. I just think that I hate the idea of guns.
Yeah.
That's where I'm liberal.
Yes.
The liberal in me is like, it would be nice if we could just flip a switch and not have guns.
Yes.
Because it's a compact, effective killing machine.
Correct.
And it's designed specifically to take a person's life.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Yep.
More than anything, take a person's life.
Yes.
In the interim, okay, shoot animals too. You know what I mean?
Right.
But initially, you know, that shit was invented to protect and or assault people.
Yes.
Now, with that being said, think about how many guns are out there right now.
There's 400 million guns in America, something like that.
Way more, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, that's probably just registered.
Yes, 100%. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure the number is.
Let's go swim down the Detroit River, see what we fucking find down there, motherfucker. We'll find muskets down there too, you know? Hold on a second. Yeah. Hold on a second. Hold on. Wait. How many registered guns are in the United States today? 466 million.
That's pretty close.
Registered.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Registered.
Crazy.
Fuck out of here.
Crazy.
There is probably twice as much unregistered.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, let's just put it this way. Already from that number, guns outnumber people.
Yes. Yeah, big time.
Guns outnumber people.
Big time.
All right. How many violent gun situations have you been in your entire life here in the United States?
None. Yeah, but that's...
Hold on a second. Okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I grew up in Detroit.
Don't ask the scared Jew. That's the difference.
I grew up in Detroit.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Right? I had a gun pulled on me by a cop.
Right.
Okay. But it was justified. I was fucking like driving like a maniac.
Got it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, if you think about that, right?
Yeah.
That shows you that there are many, 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 many people with guns that are fucking doing it right.
I mean, listen.
Does that make sense?
I think what it tells you is there are many people hoarding guns because they're hobbyists or cult leaders.
Maybe.
So, and again, like, we've gotten the...
The vast majority of them are just normal, everyday people.
Yeah.
Listen, vast majority.
But that's absolutely true.
Vast majority.
Right.
But vast majority.
But, you know, and we've played the this is why guns are awesome side, and now my flip side is you're all fucking psychopath. If my hobby was devil sticks, and I fucking love devil sticks.
What are devil sticks?
Devil sticks are those two sticks with a middle stick. It's got fuzz on the end, and you just hit them back and forth.
Okay.
And it's like a circus trick, but for nerds.
Yeah.
For virgins. If that was my hobby, but devil sticks killed 44,000 people a year, I'd be like, maybe I should put the goddamn sticks down, because I would be able to calibrate my hobby.
Is it only 44,000
deaths a year? It's something like that in America. Get it.
How many gun deaths per year in America?
Just give me the fucking number. Every stat.
It's a lot.
Yeah, you're right. 40,000.
40,000, yeah.
Okay.
You keep fucking doubting the Jew on his numbers, buddy.
How many people die in car crashes in America every year? Same.
Yeah.
Same amount of people.
Yeah, cool. But let's look per capita.
So let's get rid of cars.
Let's look at Europe and say how many people die of car crashes a year in Europe, because it'll probably be the same, because because cars have a means more than just murder.
But you would have to calculate that per capita.
Sure, exactly. But I bet you it's comparable, relatively speaking, compared to gun deaths everywhere else in the world, because everywhere else in the world doesn't let AR-15s.
But we are the land of the gun, though.
Sure. And I don't think. Listen, if we could...
But how do we get rid of guns?
We don't have to get rid of guns.
What do you think we do then?
We get rid of the exhausting opportunity to collect so many of them that every child that's mad at their other children in school can get one and kill people. Like, you're right. You have to regulate it. We don't regulate
this
shit.
Yeah, but the statistics of those, like, shootings... You know, you know what I blame more than anything? Mm. I don't blame the guns. I blame our culture.
Oh, we are 100% a mentally ill country.
I blame our infatuation with putting a person's face on the screen of everything.
Yeah.
This is the guy who shot up the school.
Yeah.
And for fucking weeks on end. So now you're just giving a sick people who are egotistical an opportunity.
But sick people.
An incentive.
With knives do less damage. They just do.
I don't know about that. I think there's some statistics out there where I think somewhere in like Australia, some guy with a knife killed and stabbed so many fucking
people.
It's
never double digits. It happens in Japan. It happens in Australia. But it's never double digits. It's never 44 people at a shooting at a concert in Texas. It's never 12.
That was the one that was the most insane.
Crazy.
Bro.
It was. It was a record setting. I mean,
was the most insane one. That's the one that made you just go like, bro, if you're in that situation, you are fucked.
Fucked. Yeah. All of these situations. I mean, we have a trauma about this. Dude, there were people at the shooting at Michigan State that were at shootings at their high schools. They were children, 20-year-olds in Michigan State right now that have lived through two smash shootings in their education system.
Smash shootings. Is where a bunch of teenagers are fucking and then there's a shooting that happens.
That's the I didn't get invited to the orgy shooting. That's a big one. That one happens a lot.
Yeah, that makes me mad.
I know. I got a bow and arrow waiting for those motherfuckers.
I'd be so obvious. Yeah. I'm like, where's my gun?
All right, I'm pro gun now.
If I can't shoot this load, I'm shooting y'all motherfuckers. I've been practicing my edging for weeks. Oh, man. Yeah, dude. Listen, you see, and that's the thing, buddy. Bro, that's where the liberal in me starts going, ugh. You know, when I really put those things like that Texas shooting and wasn't that? Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. We got a phone call. Somebody's going to yell at us.
I love it.
Hello, you are on the Public Yemeni Podcast with Mike Eshak and Justin Herman. Who is this? It's Bacon. All right, Jason, what's up? Longtime caller. Yeah. Looks like nobody can hear the phone call for some reason, buddy. This is really messed up. I'm so sorry for anybody.
I can paraphrase pretty easily.
So what did he say?
The question is, if a gun is a weapon and a tool, why don't we also regulate? Why don't we talk about regulating the human mind?
Right.
Which is also a tool that can be weaponized against other people, which is an interesting thought experiment. Oh, but all I'm saying, again, is if the human mind wants to kill people and it has to do so hand-to-hand with a knife versus with a multiple-clip assault rifle, it's going to kill less people. Listen, people that want to be regulated, and I don't blame them. I don't want to be regulated. You know, I've spent a lot of time in India, for example, and India is a lawless place. And some people love it and some people hate it. But Indians, when they visit Switzerland, they're like, this place is fucking nuts, because Switzerland is the most regulated place. In Switzerland, you can only move on 2 days out of the year. If you want to move apartments, it's either on one day or the other day. Those are your options. That's how fucking regulated.
What? That's too much.
Too much. It's a clean, pristine existence, and it is the most boring white people shit as a society, because they're so regulated, and maybe they're happy and that's great, but as an outsider who's used to less regulation, it's crazy. Most of us, right? Yes.
Right.
So the follow up was if the goal is utopia, and if the human mind is this, can be this atrocity committing weapon, how do you get to utopia without regulating it? And I don't think we ever get to utopia.
No, there's no such thing.
Yeah, I love imagining it and discussing it, and
maybe when the singularity happens,
right?
Maybe when everything's leveled for everyone. But Jason, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for your call. I wish we would have had this conversation much longer, but for some reason, of course, technical difficulties on every fucking show. Thank you, Jason. So yeah, to me, it's like, bro, the liberal in me is in a perfect world, let's fucking regulate the fuck out of guns. But then when I really look at, like, the cat's already out the bag.
But
now, if
I don't think that, yeah, just because a cat gets out of a bag doesn't mean you throw the bag in the garbage. No more cat bags. Cats are free forever.
Yeah, like, they have to be free. You can't put cats in bags, bro. Yeah. I have a cat right here. You hear? You think you've offended my cat?
Dude, I have a bag right there, buddy, and that thing is going the fuck in there.
Let's go, cat. Okay, so anyways, you said, I see where you're getting at.
You know, like, I think accepting the fact that this is how things are, when every metric comparing us to every other industrialized society on Earth tells us that we're killing tens and tens and tens of thousands of more people than they are with this very specific tool. So just says that, like, we need to be better. It doesn't have to. I'm not saying we have to abolish guns. I actually don't think we abolish guns. I get the culture of guns. I get the history. I get the connection to them. I get the hunting. I get all the stuff.
I also get the importance of having a populace that's armed.
I think that was super important in 1792.
Still important.
I don't disagree entirely, but it ain't the same as the way they talk about it. You want to use the Second Amendment? You got to rewrite the goddamn amendment.
I don't think people realize, like, people who are not in the military. I don't think people realize, the layman, how most wars, man, I swear to God, they are sustained and won by guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla warfare is a lot harder than you think it is. It's very easy to think that, like, you know, we can drop mortars on an area, right?
Right, 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 right.
You're still not killing everyone. People can go underground. They can fucking whatever. Human beings are just, like, we're smart. We're survivors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No matter how many drones you drop on Yemen, you still got to get there on your feet, man, because these people, no matter what, they're just going to come right back out. I'm like, fuck you. So I get it. Mm. The power of the government is becoming exponentially stronger.
Right.
Right. And then the idea of, like, what are you going to do with your AR-15? Mm-hmm. But I don't think you realize how hard it is to take over a country when there are so many people out there with AR-15s.
Sure.
You know, the idea of just, like, leveling it, but it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, the wars are won on the micro level.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
Less than the macro level.
I guess I just don't worry about the land invasion of America.
I am.
Yeah?
Right now I am. I really am.
I don't think there's enough, other than China, who's got enough people? Who's got enough people? I mean, look at the numbers of people that are dying in Ukraine, which is a relatively small landmass compared to the United States of America. The number of Russians that are dying trying to storm one city, Bakhmut, one place. Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds are dying a day. I mean, the amount of places you'd have to occupy, and it would be forever a guerrilla warfare. I mean, look at Afghanistan. It's been 1,000 years of people trying to conquer Afghanistan. And
we're going to get invaded.
Who, China?
We are.
By who?
There's going to be, whew, dude, what we have coming on the horizon is really, really scary. just on the economic front, how we're going to lose our place on the world stage 100%. As the dominant currency.
100%.
Once that flips, that's going to be a cascade of fucking problems for us. But not only that, we got resource wars coming.
Yes.
Water is going to be a resource war. Michigan is going to be fucking, I'm gonna have to sell off all my homes now, bro, because that's just, or it's gonna be underwater,
right?
You know, and then it's going to be not only resource wars, but war for land.
Yes.
What are you gonna do when all of a sudden like half of India is underwater?
Right. Well, that's what the Kashmir is a battle, because Kashmir has access to all this glacier runoff. That's like, Kashmir is like 20% of the water that Pakistan could have. That's why Pakistan could never relinquish. That's why they say Kashmir is the most likely place for nuclear war on Earth, because it's about water.
Yeah.
That's all what it's about.
And that's going to be exacerbated, bro. Yes,
big time.
You know, I mean, like, Israel had to like invade South Lebanon for the water.
Mm.
I mean, that's they needed water so bad they had to take it from Lebanon. Man. You know what I mean? And it's going to happen, man. And that's the thing that worries me. So I don't know. I think right now is the time to get a gun. I never really had a handgun before.
Mm.
Right. And then recently during the lockdown, everything started falling apart here. Mm-hmm. I had AR-15s before.
Mm.
Right. I've had those, but I sold them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know, if I feel like I need a gun, I'll get a gun when I'm out here. Lockdown happens. Right. All of a sudden, this nice area becomes Detroit.
Right.
People's catalytic converters are getting sawn off.
Right, right, right.
Once that started happening, I'm like, oh, dude, now I see where this is going. Next thing you know, I'm in my nice little garage getting out of my car and watching somebody tape up his window because somebody broke in.
Right.
And then more and more people are getting broken in. Then one day I wake up, the guy below me got held at gunpoint at 10 o'clock in the morning and got robbed.
Really?
10 o'clock in the morning, bro.
Hmm.
Okay? Now I'm starting to feel like I'm back in downtown Detroit again.
Right, right, right.
And I can't help but go, I need a gun now.
Sure.
So I go to get a gun.
Yes.
State of California banned me from getting a gun.
Why?
I can't get a gun here.
Why?
No, they won't give me an...
They don't give you the reason.
They don't give me a reason.
Interesting.
Every time I run my background check, it comes back going, you need a bigger background check. You need to do a live scan. I go pay the fucking money to do the live scan. I wait. Next thing you know, it comes back, says no. Mm. Then the guy at the gun shop goes, sometimes this means you might need to do another live scan. So I did another live scan, paid for another one. That came back, no.
Wow.
Something is blocking me from getting it.
Mm.
And they're saying they're finding nothing. But the letter they give me, I can show it to you. We found nothing in your fingerprints that connect you to any crimes in our database.
Mm-hmm.
But that still doesn't mean you can get a gun.
Wow.
And then when I call the fucking place, the number that they give you, it's just basically a long recording that basically tells you, get a lawyer.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that's dystopian as fuck. I'm a Marine, honorably discharged.
Yeah.
If there's anybody in this fucking 5-mile radius of this where I'm living right now, I should be the one that's qualified to have a fucking gun.
For sure.
Can't get it.
Wow.
No, and I can get one in Michigan.
Mm.
I can get one anywhere.
Mm.
Anywhere I go, I can get a gun. Background check passed. State of California, we don't think you're Democrat enough or some shit.
Fascinating.
So to me, it's
almost like they've listened to this podcast.
it's almost like we're entering this dystopian control, and it's scaring the fuck out of me, bro.
Well,
because to me, that really pisses me the fuck off. The reason why I decided to get a gun is because I started realizing I think I might need a gun right now.
Right, right. Of course. Yeah. I get that. I totally get that.
You know. So like, where do we draw the line?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, these are always the questions, and I think they need to be had. I think
we just have a firefight. We see who survives. You could throw stones at me. I'll have my AR-15.
This is what you should do. You should challenge the person who wrote that letter saying you can't get a gun to a duel. And the winner fucking gets what they want.
Like a, but it has to be because it's California.
Yeah.
The duel is going to be like flag football. Who can juke out of the way?
It's an ice skating competition. Yeah. Of course.
Hey, real quick, bro. I wanted to talk about your dad, because when we were talking about the comedy store, your dad's story is fascinating, bro.
Hell yeah. It's an unbelievable story. My dad became a doctor late in life, as I mentioned before. And he became a doctor. He wasn't really a working doctor until he was like 40. And before he was 50, he quit practicing medicine in America because he considered our healthcare system to be too unethical. Barely finished paying off his debt.
How old was he?
He was almost 50 when he quit practicing medicine. My dad's born and raised in the Bronx. Like, the fact that when his family had a car when he was a kid, it was like, that was wealth. Like, they didn't grow up with anything. My parents were food stamp eligible for years and years when he was in medical school. They had nothing. You know, my dad never had anything. And then he became a doctor, started making money, paid off his debts, and then he was like, I can't do this. Because he just thought our healthcare system treated people too poorly. Everybody on both sides, patients, physicians, nobody was getting respected.
He just didn't like the system.
He thought it was bad. He thought it was unethical, and it was impossible to be a part of as an ethically driven person. But he loved doing what he did. He loved being productive. And he ended up seeing in a newspaper a job posting looking for doctors in Australia. And he called the number and he said, I'm interested. And they said, well, they need a cardiologist in Tasmania. And he was like, what the fuck is Tasmania? He only called because he just read a travel book called In a Sunburned Country by a traveler named Bill Bryson. Great book about Australia. It's a guy that travels around Australia and just talks about everything that's uniquely weird about Australia.
Okay.
It's a great book.
It's a book. So basically book. it's a biography.
It's a biography about a country.
Okay.
It's a travel book about the crazy animals, about the crazy history. But Australia has so much barren outback that they believe a terrorist organization tested a nuclear bomb in the 1960s in the outback, but nobody knows because it was that far away from civilization.
What?
How fucking insane is that? Australia is huge.
It is.
And fascinating.
It is.
And so he'd read this book, and then they're like, Tasmania. Tasmania's not even in the book. So, like, he jumps through all these hoops, all these interviews. He gets on a phone call with all the departments of medicine, and they're like, they give him the pitch of the hospital. It's considered a rural hospital, 70,000 person town called Launceston, Tasmania. And they're like, do you have any questions? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
The guy's got computers there. And they all laughed and laughed. He said it like a joke. But he was literally didn't know if they had electricity. He knew nothing, and he was trying to figure it out. He was freaked out about this move. They wanted him for a year. He wouldn't go for more than 3 months.
They what?
They wanted him for a year to commit to a year contract. And he was like, 3 months.
3 months.
And they were like, 6 months. He was like, 3 months. My dad's from the Bronx. My dad barely considered leaving the borough, let alone the country. You know, like, this was not something he it's thought about.
Not in his wheelhouse.
Not at all. Like, he was so freaked out that the day of his flight, it was raining and the plane took off without him. Didn't even get on. His bags are better travel than he was at that point.
He was like, what?
No. Done.
Yeah, does he have anxiety?
He's a Jew, man. What do you want?
Yeah.
My dad is an impressive guy. My dad got his MD. He got his PhD because he was a professional rower. He was expected to make the Olympics, and he hurt his back.
Oh, wow.
Became a triathlete, ran marathons. Like, my dad got his MD after that. Like, my dad is an MD, as my grandfather would say. He was a doctor. Like, fucking impressive, brilliant man. Accomplished in multiple aspects.
Seems like he's alpha as fuck, though.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time. But this was outside his comfort zone, man. And he got there, and long story short, he found a system. He worked for a public healthcare system, public hospital, so socialized medicine, but they had private insurance. And he found a way to take the capitalist background he had and apply it to the socialized medicine system to create the most profitable department of this hospital, which he used that money to create training programs where he brought in doctors from around the world and trained them in interventional cardiology, which is what he specialized in. He did so many cases without any sort of surgical backup for hours away from him in this little hospital. So many cases and such a high success rate that he's been published in the American Journal of Cardiology for shit he did in Tasmania.
Wow.
I mean, it's an unbelievable success story.
Wow.
And then 15 years later, after moving there and building the system and hiring nurses and training doctors, he had a heart attack. And he went from heart attack to recovery room in less than an hour because of the thing he built. And he was stented by his protege. The dude he trained and taught how to do this is the guy that saved his life, as are the nurses that he helped train.
Fuck.
The system he helped create to bring people from ambulance to the table, to the recovery room. Everything he built saved his own life.
What a beautiful story, bro.
Unbelievable.
It's all, you know, look, when you told me this story at the Comedy Store, I was like, remember, I was just like, what? I was like, it was almost as if just the universe or God just set him up so that he could save his own life.
It's unreal. Way to fucking plan ahead, Dad.
Like, if he would have, if that heart attack would have happened here.
Yeah.
How do you think his success rate would have been to survive?
It's hard, I mean, I have no idea because I don't know anything about. But first of all, you want to go anywhere in LA, it's going to take you an hour. So that ambulance ride alone.
You're fucking done, bro.
You're done.
You better fucking go out like Kobe.
That's right.
Get on a helicopter, bitch.
But that's the whole thing.
God damn.
Dude, I mean, I'm not a fucking cardiologist, but like the faster that you can get treated and reopen the blood flow and break up the blockages that are causing the heart attack, the less damage done to your heart.
Within an hour, they
within
got
an
it.
Hour, man. And no, they didn't. They
stented him within an hour.
Within an hour. He was in the recovery room within an hour. I mean,
that's fucking fascinating, bro.
Fast. And my dad's very good at what he does. Because it's Tasmania, no one gives a shit. I can go and stand in the cath lab behind the glass while he's doing this procedure. I've watched him do this dozens of times. I'll be there in my gym clothes, hanging out, drinking a protein shake, and they'll be like, you know, him saving somebody's life. Somebody was arresting on the table 5 minutes ago.
And you can watch it?
Stood there. I've watched him take. So when you put in a stent in somebody, it's fucking crazy. What they do is they pump a dye. The patient is awake because you have to talk to them because you got to understand discomfort and shit like that while you're doing this. This is an invasive procedure, non-surgical. When you have open heart surgery, they break your ribs. The whole point of this procedure is not to destroy your infrastructure so that
you're awake.
You're awake.
Fuck.
On the table. And they pump a dye that goes through your circulatory system that shows up on their monitors.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then traditionally, he was entering through the groin, but you can go through the wrist. You can enter in multiple parts of the body. And with a long, thin wire, he navigates your circulatory system to get to the blood clot that is causing your discomfort, pain, or heart attack, or killing you in that moment. And he navigates your circulatory system. They blow up a balloon. Insert the spring, deflate the balloon, detract it, and that spring is the stent. By opening up your artery, it creates more blood flow to break up the clot. And that's basically... And I've seen him do it where he's like there's like branches of arteries and veins where he's like done a twofer at the same time. I've seen him pull the wire out and blood start shooting dangerously out of like an 80-year-old patient. Emergency shit, everybody running around.
No, no.
Like crazy no. stuff. And they're fine. They survived. Because they knew what they were doing. But like, so I mean, you're the fucking conductor, and he's the conductor.
And the person's awake for this?
Awake for the whole thing.
Is the same blood coming out of them?
Well, they usually,
were they freaking out?
No, they were, because they're lying back. They don't know. They're like,
because there's a sheet in front of them?
They're lying back. I think they were just too old to sit up. Like, I don't think they had the abs to like sit up, because they're lying flat on a table and it was shooting out of their groin. But I was just standing there like drinking a protein drink in my gym shorts.
Oh, bro.
And then all of a sudden everyone's running around me. I'm like, sorry. Can I help? Anything? Nope. Great. I'll stay here. Great.
They just let you drink a protein shake in there?
Well, I'm on the other side of glass. So I'm not scrubbed in. I'm not standing next to the patient. You guys are not professional,
bro. I just thought like you're sitting like over his groin area and just, ooh.
There's a guy named the radiologist who's on the other side of the screen who switches the monitor. So he'll be like, my dad will be, go to the C screen or whatever they call it. Go to the groin close up. That's not a thing. But whatever it is they need to see.
Your dad still do this?
He is taking a sabbatical right now because he's getting to a point where he's going to decide how much he wants to keep working in his life. But just as of December, he took... In Australia, man, this is what people who are like, socialism, boo. Socialized healthcare systems, socialized governments. In Australia, they live a better life than us in every possible way. And if you work for the state government, they have multiple ways in which you can take off like 3 months at a time. And one of them is called long service leave, which... dates back to the days of like the 50s and the 60s when people wanted to go see their families in the UK. So to get there, you had to take a boat. So you need 3 months off to do a boat ride there and back, plus spend any time there. So nobody wants to get rid of this. So they still, if you work for 10 years, you get 3 months of long service leave. So my dad's accumulated long service leave. There's leave you can take where if you're studying to become better at your profession, then they'll
that's keep nice.
It's unbelievable. Australia has so many public they have a holiday called Recreation Day.
Okay. But you know what else they have?
What?
Lazy people who don't want to take chances like your father and go to Tasmania and take their individualism. It's the spirit and gusto and energy and know-how to fucking create what he created in Tasmania. They had to find doctors elsewhere.
Yeah.
I have Australian friends, and one of my friends, Kevin Watts, shout out to Kevin Watts. He said that, I remember he's the one who told me, he was like, you know what's unique about Americans is you guys take chances.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I wish Australians took chances. I go, what do you mean? He goes, Mike, you will never hear a story of an Australian selling his house and living in a car to make something happen in his business or his dreams.
Right, but that's also...
So to me, it's like there's multiple sides to this, right?
I don't disagree.
The fact that we are not able to get healthcare as good as those other places really does force us to like survive in a much more... with more ingenuity.
It also forces my shoulder to click for my whole life because I don't think that's good. So
no, I think it's great.
What you're saying,
this fucking clicking thing is fucking amazing, bro, because you want to know why? I have to be a millionaire tomorrow now. Because this is going to get worse and I need to make money to make shit happen.
I would say you can say that, but then you can look at the fucking Hemsworth brothers and be like, "Oh shit, maybe Australians do take chances." I know so many comics that come from money that dived into stand-up comedy head first because they have no fear, because they won't die if they fuck it up. And they're doing great. Versus the comics, some of the comics that I know that have nothing, that have no money, that have never had money, that always have to work, that always have to spend 40 hours a week or more to pay their bills, to have health insurance, so that they can do the thing that they love. And there's a big difference there, man. It's
when I say that jokingly.
I get it. Also like to really reiterate it because so many people really do believe what you're saying. Like that American dream is that you sacrifice everything for it.
You know, and that's where I'm saying that everything needs to meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Like I'm now starting to like get to the idea of maybe I'm a, I think the term is democratic socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not a Democrat at all.
Yeah.
I hate the Democrats. I hate the Republicans. Right. But my point is that like, I think if I could be saying this wrong, but a Democrat or a socialist, I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But basically it's the idea of taking the best logical things of capitalism.
Yes.
And taking the best logical things of socialism and bringing those things together.
Sure. Yes.
Because to me, I love capitalism.
That's what my dad did.
What? Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly what he did.
It's exactly what he did, right? So he's probably the person that needs to be on this podcast. Get the fuck out of here, bro. but you know what I'm saying, though? Like, to me, it's like if we can get to that, because I love capitalism.
Yes.
But I think it's fucking stupid that we can't interject some.
Yes. Well, capitalism.
The problem is that any socialist stuff that we do add, we open the gates for people to manipulate that system.
Every system,
like
is
welfare
open, right?
And all these other things that we have set in place.
But free market is also manipulated. When we decrease regulation on companies, they manipulate it by taking more profits and not paying people more. Like, there's nothing. Trickle down economics has been proven so many times. It doesn't work.
But I think there's some aspects to that mindset that's true.
Sure,
there are some companies that if they had more access to more money, they'd be able to do more good.
Capitalism. What they don't tell you about capitalism is that for you to succeed, somebody else usually has to fail. For you to make more money, you do so by paying other people less. You know, like, that is such a component of what capitalism actually is.
Sure.
You know, I ran a production company for 5 years, and every budget that I did, I got to make the line items of what I could pay everybody. And all I had to do was pay that production assistant $100 less, and all of a sudden, I made $100 more. If I paid that camera guy $300 less, I've already confirmed the budget's going to be $60,000 for this shoot. If I pay them less, I make more. And I always wanted to pay everybody their fair rate. I always wanted to take care of these. Most of them were my friends. I wanted to hire the people I wanted to hire, give them chances. But the ease that I saw with which I could fuck over people I care about and make thousands of dollars, who isn't tempted by that? Like, that's part of what capitalism is.
But I think that you should make a profit.
But I already was.
You know?
This is all about how much profit is enough.
I know. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm in real estate.
You're a business guy.
And I understand profit, but I'm also in the middle too.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I have some homes that I got early that were like really cheap.
Yes.
Right? And the tenant that I have there is paying 2016 rent.
Right.
Right? Right. While rent all around her is going up to like $1,200.
Yes.
If she left, I could fetch $1,200 a month.
Yes.
Other landlords would price her out.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And I am with some of my tenants.
Sure.
But there are legacy tenants that I have that I know are good people.
Yes.
I put them myself. Yes. I like these people.
Yes.
They never give me problems. They pay early sometimes.
Yes.
And because they give me such ease.
Yes.
And because I was lucky enough to get the home for such a cheap price.
Yes.
I don't have to. I mean, I could. It'd be nice.
Yes.
But I much prefer the relationship that I have with this person.
That's exactly what I'm talking
about. And that there's some part of me in my heart that goes, they're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%.
But then I have other tenants that fucking like, they try to ream me and shit. And then I'm just like, oh, well, I got rent's $1,300 now, bro. You know, you got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, of course. And this is the thing is like, this is what I think most more conservative capitalistic people want, which is they want the ability to make those choices themselves. And I want that too.
And I want that.
Same. And that's
I like the fact that I can make that choice.
Of course. I agree. And agreed. And I feel the same way. I understand all of it. But when you start talking about public companies whose sole mission is to provide value for their shareholders.
And they have to keep increasing profits.
The only way to do it is to fuck us. The Discovery Channel CEO is like one of the highest paid CEOs in the country. And all they've done, my rate for Discovery Channel shows has not changed in 10 years.
Yeah.
It's gone down on some shows. You know, like that's crazy.
It is crazy.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Like on levels like that. But then it's just like, what do we regulate that now? You know,
I mean, what do you regulate? And again, it's
like to me, I can't stand regulations, bro. We just said how I can't get a gun.
I know.
And like sometimes you get so many regulations. Like there's nothing you can do but have somebody telling you what you need to do. Cut your grass. Do the dip.
It's the Melbourne lockdowns, right? That's regulation at its extreme, and that shit's scary. When regulation fucks you, man, it's the worst. And so you got to find a balance. And
bro, can I give you a funny story about Melbourne?
Hit me.
This is like before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe how regulated they were.
Mm.
I tried to get a drink. I was, you know, AJ Faji?
No.
He's a doorman at the Comedy Store, tall Nigerian guy.
Yeah.
We happened to fucking go to Australia for a month to do comedy separately and didn't realize until just as I was going there. So then that's how we like became friends.
Cool.
And we're both out there. And I remember it was like on my last day there. Me and AJ are at this like beach club, right? And I went to go get a drink, right? Mm. And I usually typically drink tequila on the rocks. I don't like beer.
Mm-hmm.
I drink beer, but it just makes you fat.
Yeah.
Whenever you get tequila or anything on the rocks in America, that typically signals to the bartender, I'm going to put ice in it, and the pour is going to be a little bit heavier than it normally is for a regular shot.
Here, that's correct. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, right? Yeah, so you get a lot of alcohol and some fucking ice.
Right.
In Australia, they're regulated to only pour so many milliliters.
Yes.
The guy pulls out a shot glass.
Yes.
It's got a line on it. And then he pours it so slow, looking at the line. And I always equate it to like a lab scientist that's like afraid he's going to blow up the lab if he crosses that line. Right. And he's like, what? And then he puts it in a rock glass and then he pours it in there. Right. And he gives me the glass and the glass looks empty. Because of the size of the rock glass and how much ice was on there. Looked empty. I go, bro, this looks empty. He's like, no, Mike, that doesn't look empty. I could see a Chardonnay. And I was like, make it a double. Can't give you doubles, Mike. What do you mean you can't give me doubles, Mike? Sorry, Mike, can't give you doubles. You be throwing them back too fast. So I go, okay, can I get two? Sure thing. Okay, hold on. So he does the same thing.
Yeah.
Almost going to explode the lab.
Yeah.
Pours. So now I got two empty glasses.
Yeah.
So I pay him $80.
Yeah,
so
$3,000.
Right? And he goes to try to cash it out. And I'm looking at these two glasses going, I'm just going to pour this one into this one. And just before I do, it's like he had eyes behind back here. He's like, Mike, don't do that. Don't, please. I could lose my job.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you serious? He's like, no, Mike, I'm telling you right now, don't do it. I could lose my job. You cannot pour them together, please. I go, these look fucking empty. He's like, mate, I assure you, they don't look empty. You don't look stupid. Fine.
Yeah.
Go back to the table where AJ is. I put these two fucking empty glasses in front of AJ. I go, those are my tequila on the rocks.
Yeah.
And he's like, that shit look empty as fuck. I go, that's what I fucking told that guy. And right when I said that, the waitress took my drinks away.
No way.
And I was like, what are you doing? She goes, I thought you were done. I go, exactly. Bro.
That's ridiculous.
That was before the pandemic.
Oh, dude, 20 years ago, that was my experience drinking.
So to me, that's the fear that people like me have.
Yes.
Is that if you start fucking going, we got to regulate all this shit.
Yep.
What the fuck?
Listen, I think that is a completely valid fear. But I think that if I had to drink my tequila one shot at a time and it means 30,000 people get shot less a year, it's probably worth it. Like, at what point do you decide regulation is the truly less than truly more than an inconvenience for a better life, for the equity of society? You know, like, what? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but like, I'm just picking this as an example. But like, I think drinking booze at bars in Australia is insane. It's why they all drink beer. It has to be why they all drink fucking.
That's
beer.
Why they all
because
drink beer.
They're so regulated. Every shop pours.
Yeah, why when Australians come here, they're always hammered.
Hammered.
That's my philosophy now. It's I'm like, you guys order tequila on the rocks, and you're getting way more than you're used to.
Yes, big time. And but that's they also. Why... But it's like anything. It's like you say kids can't drink at bars, so they drink before. Before they go to the bar.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I did.
We all, of course, what we all do find our ways around regulations, which is why they ain't that big of a deal if it makes life genuinely better. Now, does this make life better for anybody? I don't know. Is it probably instituted because Australians were drinking too much long before this regulation?
Probably.
So, like, what's this, you know, you can come up with a negative story about everything.
I don't know, dude. I just think that shit's been getting out of control. We're making regulations for regulations to regulate the regulations, and it's just like, but where are we going to be in fucking 50 years, bro?
Yeah, I know.
I almost feel like that. Remember that movie with Sylvester Stallone? Was it called? It was that goofy movie, Demolition Man.
Yeah, of course. Love that movie.
Wasn't that movie with Sandra Bullock in
it?
Was that the one?
Yeah, with Wesley Snipes as the bad guy.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. And then I remember, like, in that movie, like, he was from the past.
Yes.
And now he's back in this future.
Yes.
And then, like, he can't even just say whatever he wants to say because he keeps getting these tickets.
Well, that exists in China right now. Like, that was happening in China during their lockdowns. Like, if you went outside on your balcony of your apartment without a mask on and a drone saw you, they would not just ticket you, they would take the money out of your account instantly. You want to talk about digital currencies? They have a digital yen in China, and it is scary.
Bro, what I'm saying.
It is scary. I know we're both playing devil's advocate with each other because that's how you have a good
I would almost rather have Wild Wild West than fucking go to that.
I know. It's a lot, man. It is scary. And I agree with you. Like, I think that there are regulations that we have to be very careful about, and I think there are things that need to be regulated that we ignore.
Did you see the video? I saw a video of what the cops have. They have these glasses that they can wear.
Mm.
That augment over their eyes. So then when they are looking at, like, traffic of people, every person's tagged.
Jesus Christ.
And it has their name, their ethnicity, and all that fucking shit.
Dude.
Everyone's tagged.
I directed a documentary series for Netflix called The Future Of.
Yes, I saw that. You directed the whole thing?
I was one of the two directors on the show.
Good job on that. That was fun. That was fun to watch. I like it.
I'm glad. I appreciate that. It's what they ended up making is not what I initially came on for. So initially it was a 20 episode order, and it was way more deeper dive into these topics. Mm. More topics, more deeper exploration.
Yeah,
then after about 6 months, the network decided to simplify it and make it
kind of like explain this.
Yeah, more exactly. That's all they wanted. They wanted more pop culture-y and simpler, and which bummed me out because that's how I interviewed
I know that bums you out, but it served its purpose.
Great.
It was the thing that I wanted to watch where I didn't want to think too much.
Yeah.
And it was good.
That's good.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I see the value of it.
Yeah.
I also make fun of the value of it because it was the best storytelling of my career.
Wow.
I mean, I interviewed Neil deGrasse Tyson about the future of space travel. I interviewed the chief ethicist and neuroscientist at DARPA about brain-computer interfaces. Like, man.
How cool.
So fucking cool.
And they just took everything that you did and put it into one little sentence.
Exactly.
Because it was very, like, bite-sized, palatable.
Big time. Dude, I directed 3 episodes. One was about the future of marriage. One was about the future of dating. One was about the future of sex. And they got rid of 99% of it and made the future of dating apps, which was basically like, maybe they'll change. It was like, it drove me crazy because it was such interesting storytelling. And they made it so simple.
Don't you think
simple.
You could repurpose that information that you have?
I can and make something else. And I think about that a lot.
You should.
And I may. Because it was... I interviewed futurists. And I interviewed...
Bro, I would deep dive into
this
that
is
shit.
Your fucking jam.
That's my
you.
Jam.
Yeah.
I love listening to shit like that.
So interesting. And now I totally forget why I brought that up.
I forgot why you brought it up too.
What were we just talking about?
I'm the one smoking weed. Why are you asking me, bro? Fuck you. He saw me hitting this pen the whole time.
What was I talking about? Man.
We were talking about. Fuck.
Contact high, baby. Somebody fucking call in. Where's our bacon guy?
No, don't call. Don't fucking call. Don't call, motherfucker. Fuck. What the fuck? We were talking about liberals and conservatives.
We're talking about regulate. Oh, I got it. I did one of the episodes that I was directing on was the future of policing.
There you go.
And I was it was mostly about AI. And it was mostly about AI and predictive policing technologies that are coming down the pike. And I interviewed brilliant advocates and brilliant scientists. And pretty universally, the message it was, this is going to be bad. Because all it does is give people with power more power.
That's right? What I'm saying.
And all human bias, there's a whole documentary called Coded Bias. And basically the whole...
Quoted?
Coded.
Coded C-O-D-D, bias.
Coded bias. And the whole thesis is essentially that all technology, all coding, which is what AI is, all the coding that goes into technology like AI, it carries the bias of who's coding it. So if you're all white dudes in Palo Alto coding this technology of automated cars, what they found early on was the automated cars, which were trained not to hit white guys, were not trained to not hit black guys, were not trained to not hit children, were not trained to not hit people in wheelchairs, because they didn't think about it because of their bias. So all of that stuff gets changed over time, but not before somebody in a wheelchair gets hit by a car. Like, what does it take? And so when you talk about predictive policing technologies, trying to predict, like Minority Report, who's going to commit the crime, all it's doing is taking the biases of society, which is saying downtown Detroit's more dangerous than the suburb, let's put more police there. Is that going to solve the problem? Has that ever really proven to solve the problem? All of these technologies that are going to be applied to law enforcement in the future just create more control and more bias in a technological form as it currently exists. And there is no regulation to prevent it from being coded exactly how people in power want to code it. And that's where the problems lie, is that the bias of the coder, the bias of the programmer, can redefine how this technology is used like that.
Sure.
Instantly.
I think one of the simplest forms of that technology is how those automatic sinks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For so long, even now, it's like if you're white, it could bounce the light enough. It's true.
Dude, I've never thought about those sinks.
But if you're black or if you're dark,
we're
like invisible to it.
Right.
I look like fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi trying to fucking like convince it that I'm not Obi-Wan Kenobi and shit.
That's why you can't get a gun. They were like, can't get water. No fucking gun.
David Lucas was the one that pointed it out to me, man. Because I remember because the sink at the Comedy Store for the longest time in the men's bathroom was one of those.
Shut up.
Right now it's got the button that you press, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But before it was that. And I remember I hated it, dude, because I'd be that guy with the fucking... So I'm just fucking, and then white guys are going, psh, psh. I'm like, how you do that? I couldn't understand.
Yeah.
And David Lucas was the one who was just like, it's because that shit racist.
That's so
and I'm
funny.
Like, what do you mean? He's like, bro, he goes, the only way you're thinking to get that thing is you got to show it the whitest part of your palm.
Wow.
Which is mean you got to really give it your whitest part of your palm. And sure enough,
wow.
I was like, motherfucker, bro. And then after that, I remember seeing things online about that bias. There were videos and like scientists talking about how there is bias in coding and everything that you said, man, which is fascinating because you're right. Because if that stuff gets coded by the government, the bias is not for the people. It's for the government.
And so like if they can use this technology, traffic cameras, you go 4 miles over the speed limit, they can decide ticket. No cop has to pull you over. You know, they have that technology already.
They already have it here.
Right. But they can be way worse, right? They can control the speed that everybody... they could do so much with it and without regulation of how this technology is used. This is why it's always like a ping pong ball, right? It's always a tennis match of how much do you regulate, how much do you not? Because when you don't regulate, people with absolute power will have...
That's what I'm saying, bro. Right?
But you got to... It's why you have to regulate shit, too. It's not about so we can fucking... raise the rent or not on people, but it's so that you control that shit. I'm sure in Switzerland, it's way harder to exploit technologies because they're so regulated as a society. That's the advantage. You can only move on 2 days a year. That means there's no shiesty shit going on with your landlord trying to kick you out and trying to make you move out early. Like, this shit is so regulated that you're safe. You're protected in a
system.
Could
you imagine, man, just that one day out of the 2 days a year, all you're seeing is sofas and fucking... people throwing shit at each other. They must go all out on that day, bro. Dude, what does that day look like?
How many fucking people do they import to fucking move all your furniture?
That's what I'm saying. All those Mexicans that have to show up that day.
I wanted to say Mexicans, but you're browner than me, so I didn't.
You know what I mean? It's just like only that one day is all these Mexicans are here.
I know.
They're selling tacos on the streets. They're doing the danger dogs. Only for one day, bro.
It's after like a that, carnival. The Mexicans are gone, bro. They set up so many fucking food booths that you can't get the fucking moving truck through.
like it turns into Mexico,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
That is fucking hilarious.
Amazing.
All right, bro. We should probably put this to a close, man. We went fucking almost 2 hours, buddy.
Wow.
Yeah. We had a
good talking to you, about, dude.
Right now we got 5 listeners that are live. Usually live is anywhere from like 5 to 10.
Nice.
Sometimes less, sometimes more, but the people listen to it more than they listen to it live. But bro, that was fascinating talks, bro.
Super cool.
Fascinating talks, man. I love the fact that I'm like getting so high, but your eyes are redder than mine. What's going on here, bro?
I'm just allergic to your cat.
Is it really hitting you?
I don't know. I am actually a little itchy. I'm starting to feel it.
Yeah, oh yeah. No.
That's okay. I got Claritin in the car.
I'm sorry, buddy.
No, it's cute. It's cool.
All right. It's a she.
I don't see gender, so.
You fucking piece of shit. Canceled, bro. All right, tell everybody how they can find you, man.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Justin_Herman. I'm on TikTok at Justin Herman Comedy. Justin Herman Comedy is my website.com. That's the best way to find me.
Smart.
And
any shows coming up?
Yeah, I'm going to be headlining in Seattle March 23rd and 24th. Where? I don't remember the name of the
club
venue.
Comedy?
No.
Laughs?
No. Oh. It's probably some fucking gas station bathroom or something. It's
never, Rendezvous?
No.
Okay. Let me know, man, because I kind of want to know. I just did Seattle in January. It's
Nice. Yeah. Right on. Yeah, yeah.
Anywhere else?
I'll be in Oregon for 2 nights after that. So 23rd to 26th, I'm doing a little Pacific Northeast tournament in my hour for 4 nights.
Sweet.
So it should be fun. And yeah, everything else will be on social. You can find me there.
Awesome. So Justin Herman, follow him. He's a fucking great guy. Fucking... just a wealth of fucking information, man. You're like fascinating. We talk about one thing and all of a sudden you're like, I'm liberal, bitch. No. All right, guys, Mike from Detroit.com. That's where you can find everything. I'm going on tour. I'll be in Baltimore March 2nd to the 4th at the Port Comedy Club. Then that following Sunday, I'll be in Washington, D.C. at Room 808. Vancouver in Canada, I'll be opening for Trix at the House of Comedy in Vancouver. And more dates coming up. Detroit House of Comedy headlining in June. Join my mailing list. Go on MikeFromDetroit.com. As soon as you get there, you'll see a pop-up that comes up. Join my list. I'll only send out a message if I'm doing shows near your area. Would love to see you guys live. It's always a freaking party. And until next time, motherfuckers, peace out.
Public Yemeni number one.
Dude, you're the same way.